God, good this morning, church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. We are going to be this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I have entitled my message this morning, Unto the Appearing of Jesus Christ. Unto the Appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Again, Father, we thank you and praise you as we submit ourselves to you. We resist the devil, therefore he must flee. On all things according to your good pleasure, may every heart receive them today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can praise the Lord one more time. That's what it's all about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We have been studying chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, and we have found it to be a very enlightening. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the marvelous prayer that is found in verse 23 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, it says this, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful passage of scripture that is when we look at as well what it has to say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, which says, And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 24 says, Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How wonderful our God is and how marvelous his great love. And I'm afraid too often we say those things or we hear that and we give our assent, we acknowledge amen. But that we need to allow the truth of who our God is, how marvelous he is, and how great and deep and rich and giving his love is, really penetrate into our hearts and our minds where we understand truly just how great our God truly is. And I'm going to say it again, and his great love. Amen. We discussed in this study of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, how great a love Father has for his own that such a prayer would be inspired and included in scripture so that his will would be manifest to each and every one of us, so that it would be made known to us what his desire and his will in our lives being accomplished according to his heart and his mind and his word. Having made that clear to us, he sets to rest any doubts about his desire then for our sanctification, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, complete and full, spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3 says, For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And we spend a lot of time looking at that word sanctification and examining just exactly what that means to each and every one of us. Amen. It goes on to say in scripture here in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, what I want to pull out when we look at this and we're looking at being sanctified unto our God, separated from the world and set apart unto him. And holiness, blameless, walking before him with all of our heart, with all of our love, with all that we are, giving ourselves to him and coming out from the world. Amen. And the love of the world. It says that he would have us to be sanctified holy, spirit, soul, and body. And listen, it says, be preserved. So goes the verse, blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, beloved, let me tell you, it all started about some 2,000 years ago or more, as we are preparing to celebrate Christmas, his arrival so important that was heralded by angels. Important, I think, is a bad word to use. So grand. So life-changing for whosoever will. You see, it was foretold that the Messiah, the Savior of all mankind, for whosoever will, that he would come, and he did. And he arrived, and all the host of heaven declared it to first shepherds abiding in a field. The Son of God had arrived. Not just any baby. This baby was the King. And this baby, beloved, grew up perfectly following his Father's will. He gave himself up, a ransom for many. He gave himself up for whosoever will. That lost mankind, as they placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, his atoning death on Calvary's cruel tree, would be saved. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We're looking at his arrival the first time. As he came to earth and the angels proclaimed peace on earth, goodwill toward men. As we look at this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we see the prayer that the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to pray and included in Scripture, we understand the depth of God's desire for us, and that our Lord Jesus Christ, even as he came once, as sure and as certain as that first arrival was, so our Lord, our God, and our King is indeed coming back again. Amen? Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! He's wanting us to have it settled in our hearts, in our minds. And the Bible says that he who has this hope in him maketh himself pure. This is an anchor, if you will, that will keep us steady and that will keep us on the track, on the right track, and keep us going in the direction that God has called us to go in faith toward him, sanctified, holy, spirit, soul, and body unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Oh, I'm telling you, church, he's not willing to let anything fall to chance. That he would so include this in Scripture. His desire is that he wants us to understand that, yes, I have made known to you my will. I have so made it known that I have inspired that the prayer would be prayed and then included in Scripture so that you might make it your own. And then I don't leave it to chance or to perhaps you might in your own strength. But I have enabled you with the mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ so that this might truly be your end. Oh, I have to say again how great our God. I have to say again how deep and how rich his love. And we have to say again the scripture that is so beautiful and yet known to every Sunday school child. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, how rich, how deep, how great, how grand is the love of our God toward all his creation, toward every heart, whosoever will. And on the side of this thing, we understand that the world today is trying to wipe out the glorious truth of Christmas. Happy holidays and stories about fat men in red suits and all kind of nonsense going on and magic this and magic that, and the television is filled with goofy, sappy stories that pull on the emotions and yet take away from the truth of the gospel. It was so great love that was given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Jesus hath not failed to keep even one of his promises. So now I'm telling you this, that if he says that he is coming back again, and he does indeed, then you can rest assured that that promise will not fail either. Amen. Hallelujah. Therefore, we again take to heart what we're seeing here that is prayed and inspired by the Holy Spirit. And Paul prayed that we would be sanctified and preserved blameless. Spirit, soul, and body unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says unto the coming of our Lord. How beautiful. This is that which Paul the Apostle faithfully writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Jesus the baby, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, will soon and very soon come back again. And this time, the Lion of Judah. Amen. Hallelujah. This time, the Bible says in Revelation that he is coming and that he is bringing his reward with him, giving to every man according as his work shall be. Amen. Therefore, we understand why the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this prayer, because God is desirous that we make heaven our home, that we be ready, and that this be fully manifested and realized in our lives, that we be preserved blameless. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Oh, praise his holy name. Church. You know, I've said so many times that if I could, because, you know, we ministers of the gospel, we teachers of the word are blessed, and that he so puts it into our heart that there is, along with the understanding, a depth of a feeling and emotion of the reality of God's word that goes so deep that he enables us in some way to impart to you the richness and the wonder and the amazement of that word. And I said, if I could, I would take it and I would put it in you myself, but I cannot. But the wonder of it, the amazement of it, to be preserved blameless. Hallelujah. That God would so inspire a man to pray and that he would want to make it our own. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. That we would be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So rich and deep, I will say again, and I know you won't mind it, is the love of our God. So wonderful. The arrival of the Son of God, of which Christmas celebrates, this one will come back again for a people prepared. And that is what this prayer is all about. And that's the desire of the Holy Spirit this morning, to whet your appetite, to inspire each and every one of us again, that hope would begin to burn bright within us, this blessed hope, and that we would turn our eyes from this life, from this world, and from selfish ambitions and selfish living, and look to that there is something greater. Now, I'm not talking about being a fanatic and freaky and not able to function in this world that God has called us to, but I am talking about that flame of hope and desire would be so bright and alive within us that we would not be any good as far as this world is concerned, or the purpose of the enemy, or this flesh. And that light would burn bright. We live in a dark and squalid place, the Bible says in 1 Peter, this world is. And we are to let our light so shine that there's something more. There's something greater. And believe me, the world is still asking the question, is this all there is? Money, position, influence, being famous, whatever you can get from this world in the dark of the night when you're all by yourself, you will admit it cannot and does not satisfy. So he would preserve a people. Preserved. The Amplified says to be kept sound and complete. Speaking of the whole man. Spirit, soul, and body. The Expositor's Study Bible says this. Any involvement, righteous or unrighteous, affects the whole man and not just physical, as some say. So the importance that we be preserved wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y. So you understand that what you do in the body affects the spirit and affects the soul. You have to understand this. There are those who would try to teach you otherwise, and they are in gross error. The word in the Greek, preserved, means a watch as to guard from loss or injury. Listen to that. Look again how deep and rich the love of God is, that you would be preserved. This is His desire, that He would, in fact, as we seek Him and pray and know the work of sanctification in our lives, to set a watch to guard from loss or injury, keeping the eye upon. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says that we are the apple of His eye, treasured, precious, to be guarded and protected. Keeping the eye upon, to hold fast, preserve, watch. Oh, the wonder of it. When He expands and opens up what His desire is for us, when we look at this and we dig deep into what the Scripture is speaking to us. Preserved, blameless, that He Himself, by the power of His Spirit, watching, working, guarding, keeping you from loss or injury as we commit ourselves to Him according to the truth of His Word, His will, and His way. The word blameless is equally as interesting, which I think that when we look at it, we think, well, we can't possibly make this our own. Well, no, we can't in and of ourselves. But as we're striving, walking perfectly before the Lord, is striving with all your heart to honor Him and to live for Him and to give yourself to Him. The Bible does say no man doeth righteously continuously. We don't have to sin, though sometimes we do. The point is that the power is given to us, and we can, as much as we want, walk close with Him. As much as we give ourselves to Him. Blameless means faultlessly, unblameably. It comes from another Greek word, which means irreproachable. Irreproachable. I remember very early on in my life with the Lord, and coming out from the world. And as I would pray and seek Him and asking to work in me a complete cleansing, as a young woman, I remember praying that God, that He would so work in me that there wouldn't be even a smidge, not a tiny bit, not a hint of impropriety. Irreproachable. No foibles, no picadillos. Not a smidge. Faultless, unblameable. And beloved, this is God's will for each and every one of us, to be found in such a grand state spiritually that our whole person, spirit, soul, and body be blameless before the Lord. Let's just look at a couple passages of Scripture that absolutely confirm this truth. Let's look at Philippians 4:9, if you will, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'll start at verse 8. Well, let's start at verse 7. Well, let's start at verse 9. Well, let's not. Let's start at verse 4, since the whole passage is so beautiful. But I'll really hit upon what I want you to see. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. says in the Amplified, to delight and gladden yourself in him. And that goes right along with what Brother Pennington had to say to us this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Listen, verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. This desire of his that we be sanctified holy, preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the exhortation? Those things which you have learned, both learned and received and heard and see in me, do according to the truth of God's word, sanctified, holy, preserved, blameless. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. Thank you, Lord. Amen. On the other side of 1 and 2 Timothy, if you're having trouble finding your way, 1 Thessalonians 3:13. Well, I'll start at verse 11. Because it is again a prayer inspired by the Holy Spirit. As Paul prays it for the church. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Verse 13, to the end he may establish, old English word, establish your hearts. Listen, unblameable. In holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, this isn't the first time when we see it written in 1 Thessalonians that it's mentioned in Scripture or that God is making known his heart to his people. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, how I love thy law. It is my meditation both day and night. The psalmist said, through the entrance of thy word, O God, is thy servant illuminated. David said, thy word, O God, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1, starting at verse 5. Well, let's start at verse 4. Again, Paul is praying. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. That right there would settle a whole lot of confusion, a whole lot of attack from the enemy. The way that he would try to turn your thoughts or your hearts from trusting in the Lord, that he will do what he said he would do in you. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, speaking of the gifts of the Spirit, so that you come behind in no gift, listen, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to say it again. You see, it's not the first time he makes known to us that this is his will and how great love God has for his people that he continues to show this to us in his word. Amen. How can you in any way be confused? There can be no room for doubt. There's no room for error. What he wants for his people. And this is a good thing. And why is it such a good thing? What is all the fuss about? Why so much ado? Why does he have this written in the scripture again and again and again, which, by the way, we receive everything by the word of two or three witnesses? So why is it that God again and again in his word tells us that this is what he wants for us? Well, he tells us at the end of this prayer exactly why. Because our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. And he would have you prepared. He would have you ready. He wouldn't have you miss out in any way, shape, or form whatsoever. That's why it's so vitally important that we allow him through his word, through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the truth of who our God is, to bring us to the place where we are not what we once were, and that we continually are conformed and made over into the image of our Christ. Amen? Absolutely. Because he's coming back again. And church, you don't want to miss it. Hallelujah. You don't want to miss it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. In other words, those who have died in Christ, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if, and the word should be since, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them, not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. I love verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. To the child of God, this ought not to be a terror. To the child of God, this ought to be something that, referring to what I said earlier, would cause the heart and the hope and the desire for his return to flame bright and to grow large again. That we would be hungering and thirsting. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come. This ought to be our constant hope, our constant desire. Something we are certainly looking forward, living in a tension between doing what he's called us to do here and now and looking for his return, and then allowing him to work in us his will and good pleasure, that we might be that bride, that we might be indeed that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Amen. Hallelujah. This is wonderful when we consider this Christmas season, the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ came once, he's coming back again, and he's coming this time as the Lion of Judah and for a people ready. I've said it now, and I've said it, and I've said it this morning, and no doubt I'll say it again. And this is what he's wanting to burst into flame again in our hearts and our minds and our desires. Yes, I'm going to be one of them. I'm going to be ready. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 58. Talk about this immortality putting on, this mortality putting on immortality, and this corruptibility putting on incorruptibility, that we will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That we shall forever be with the Lord. Acts chapter 1 verses 9 through 11. We see where the Lord Jesus Christ was ascended into heaven. And the angels said, why do you men of Galilee stand there gazing up at them? Do you not know? Or let me give you a hint. Let me tell you here that this same Jesus who has been taken up from you shall come again in like manner. Hallelujah. He is coming back again. And he hath not failed to keep even one of his promises. And he is coming back again. Thank you, Lord. Now, maybe something that you haven't read for a while, you haven't thought about for a while, but Jesus asked Father in John chapter 19, verse 24, as he prayed for the people, for the disciples, that we be with him where he is in glory. In fact, I think it's John 17. That we be with him where he is in his glory. It affirms, it confirms the truth of verse 23 in 1 Thessalonians 5. His desire is that we be with him in heaven. And for that to happen, the prayer that Paul prayed, assuming, of course, that we're all born again and have given our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, would then allow him to continue work in us, the ongoing process of sanctification. Being preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is that blessed hope found in Titus 2:13. Paul spoke of it in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, ever to be with the Lord that I read to you. This is what you must understand, church, that if not preserved blameless spirit, soul, and body unto his appearing, you will be left behind at the rapture, which is what we're talking about, of the rapture of the church, to remain as a part of the apostate church, subject to God's wrath. After the rapture of the church, a time of tribulation and wrath will be poured out upon the ungodly. A paraphrase of something that Donald Stamps in one of his commentaries here says. And so it will be true. Why the fuss? Why the ado? Why the insistence from the Lord again and again and again that we hear what he's saying to us? Because he would not have us to miss out. If he already so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten son to pay a terrible price on Calvary's cruel tree, that we be born again, that life be given to us in Christ again. If he already gave his son, surely we can understand his heart, then that be not in vain, not one of us. But that standing before him on that day, that our joy would be full. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Boy, I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit again and again and again this morning has been rehearsing in our ears the fact that we need to wake up to the signs of the times. That we see what is taking place in the world today. And I don't encourage you to spend a lot of time in front of the TV or in the newspapers or in news magazines, because so much of it is so slanted and isn't really the truth in the way that it's being presented, as far as it's coming against everything that is true according to the Lord and his word. But we see that there are atrocities. We see that it is even as the scripture says, that there's earthquakes and famines and wars and rumors of wars. And we see all this taking place. And in our own country, we are in uproar. And we are in havoc in the United States of America. And where we were once a Christian country, given over to the principles of God's word, where the Bible was the main study book in schools and in colleges, and we were taught the word of God and taught the golden rule and taught respect for your parents and love for one another. That is no longer the order of the day, where you have children divorcing their parents and you have them murdering their parents and parents murdering their children. And one horrible atrocity after the other, but of the signs of the times. He says, but of the times and the seasons, you know that I don't have any need to make it clear to you. Signs of the times was clear to them. So too, beloved, they are clear to us now. It is dark as far as the world is concerned. You and I, as brother said, are in the economy of God. We are in the kingdom of God. What is according to the truth of the world is not true for you. In God's kingdom, in his economy, who is able to make all grace abound super abundantly toward each and every one of his own. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging for bread. And he has not failed to keep even one of his promises. Hallelujah. We look at the president-elect. And we see that there has been one association after the other that is far more than questionable. We begin with the church that he sat in for 20 years and didn't know what the man behind the pulpit was like. We think of Bill Ayers, who was just a man in his neighborhood, who in fact was his dear friend and helped to send the president-elect in his chosen career forward. And then Governor Globovich, a questionable tie indeed, Illinois, who caught up in this scandal, trying to sell the vacant senator seat the president was in, or the president-elect. Well, this governor said he'll have a lot to say when it gets to the place that he sits down and has to interview. Well, my hope is that he lives to do it. Because I believe there is going to be such a wealth of information and so many dead bodies uncovered, if you'll understand what I'm saying. So much that has been hidden, revealed, that perhaps God will see fit to save us from ourselves. This one who has said his first order of business is to overturn all the pro-life victories that we have thus far gained. His desire is to set up government controls in business so that they make the gains of companies privatized, but their losses socialized. Turn us over to a socialization of our country and community. Signs of the times. But Jesus said such things must needs be. But the truth of the matter is, why am I declaring these things? You've got to have your eyes open. You've got to see. You've got to understand what is taking place today so that you will not be taken unawares. Watch ye therefore. Watch ye therefore. Watch ye therefore, says the word of God. And you've got to understand that this is the time that we live in, and it's long past the day when you can sit on the fence. And you can play with God. And you can dabble in this and dabble in that, which you know is not glorifying to God or Christ-like. Giving over to selfish ambition and habitual sin that again and again and again you've given place to. But I have decided to follow Jesus. Hallelujah! You understand now the weight and the impact and the importance of this prayer in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Our beloved God inspired Paul the apostle to pray and then was included in scripture for our great benefit. So wonderful. So great, this truth. I love what it says in verse 27. So important, so weighty. Verse 27 says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. You can't miss out on this. This has got to be made known. So much so that he charges them before the Lord that it is proclaimed. The good news, the word that was spoken is proclaimed for the benefit of all who hear. Hallelujah. Why all the fuss? Why all the ado? My goodness. Because it is vital for your well-being, as well as mine, for all who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, so that on that day we will not miss out. But that when the trump of God sounds before a blink of an eye, hallelujah, that you and I, we're out of here. Hallelujah, that we are gone, past gone. Leave the mess to those who have rejected him. He will make known by his doings that he is God. But as for you and I, our joy shall be full. You won't be disappointed or ashamed. You won't miss, as I said earlier, just one little bit of effort or time or energy or what you did for the cause of Christ or what you put yourself to know him. Amen. Paul, who said that his desire was that he might be found in Christ, that he may win him, that I might know him. The power of his death and resurrection. So too, church, that desire needs to be ours, and more so today than ever before. As we see the day approaching, we must give ourselves to him, spirit, soul, and body. The evidence is great indeed that it can't be too long. And lastly, as I get ready to close, President Bush's weekly address yesterday, his address to the nation, he spoke of data that came in that said that the level of drug addiction by our young people in this country is lessened. And he spoke of the faith-based initiatives that have done dramatically successful, that were dramatically successful in lowering that percentage. And he spoke of how that these faith-based organizations have done for those that were drug addicted that no other organization or program could do. And we thank the Lord for that. President Bush sounded terribly tired. And I said all that to say this, that as we heard what we felt was the weariness in his voice, I don't believe it was the job. I believe his heart is breaking over the choice that America has made. And I believe that his heart is breaking at the place, the path that this president-elect will take us down. No holds barred. Nothing too perverse. Nothing out of order. To give place completely to hedonism, that which is anti-Christ. A path dark and dismal. But for you, you have no cause for any grief of heart in the sense that you know for every born again child of God who is faithful that you are going to be called out of this mess before it gets so deep down the path that your God has given you that blessed hope. And he has so loved you that he inspired the Holy Spirit. Or the Holy Spirit, I'll say this, inspired Paul to pray that escape would be our portion. And in this, beloved, you need to rejoice and thank the Holy One of Israel for his great provision, for his protection, and for the truth of his word that he has not failed to keep even one of his promises. He who came back, who came the first time, is coming back again, and you are going to be taken up out of this thing if you will come into agreement with the Holy Spirit. I pray the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. Preserve you blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you stand to your feet this morning? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Stand to your feet if you can. If you can't, that's all right. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Praise the Lord. This morning, church, this has been laid out as clearly as I'm able to. Wanting you to see exactly what is at stake for you individually. You can only make a decision and a choice for you today. And the Holy Spirit is calling upon you today that will you determine in your heart and mind afresh and new that this prayer is going to be realized and manifested to the glory of God in your life. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You are here this morning and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything isn't as it should be. That there's room for question. Question, am I giving over to that thing again and again and again? Have you? Are you? Will you excuse it? Do you legitimize what you're doing? Well, you accuse, you find fault, you blame somebody else. But you know, where the rubber meets the road, the choice is yours, because you'll never stand before him and say, but it was so-and-so. Eve couldn't do it, and you won't be able to. Adam couldn't do it. Neither will you. The woman you gave, she... Will you slip up a hand this morning? Just honest as can be. I hear you, Holy Spirit. I hear you, my Father. I hear you, my Lord. Amen. I'm not living my life the best that I can for you. Maybe I haven't even been as concerned as I need to be, but boy, I'll tell you, I am now. It's a conviction of the Holy Ghost. It's confirming to me where I am and what I need to do. I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, you've seen every hand. You know every heart and you know every life. We're fond of saying, you know where we live. You know our rising up, as the scripture says, our lying down, our going out, and our coming in again. Nothing's hidden from you, who the night is even as the day. I pray, Lord God, for those who have humbled themselves before you this morning and slipped up a hand. Here I am, Lord. It's me. I pray that you would work in them a godly sorrow that bringeth forth deep and true and genuine repentance, so that the cycle of failure and repentance and failure and repentance and habitual sin is broken. That, Lord God, that we're striving ever onward, ever upward, in pleasing you, giving ourselves a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. Father, I pray that you would strengthen each and every one in their innermost being against yielding to temptation by the power of thy Spirit. And that all of us, Lord God, would be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that in the evil day, stand, so that thy will and thy good pleasure be fully accomplished in each and every one of us. That, Lord God, that we will hear that trumpet. That we won't miss out on one of thy blessings. Not even the tiniest measure, but certainly not in that great day when the trump of the archangel shall sound. That we will be a people preserved, blameless, sanctified, holy, spirit, soul, and body. I pray, Lord God, that you would cause this truth to be worked in our spirit and worked in our hearts and worked in our minds, and that we mull over it and we chew on it and we think on it and we allow it to, as I said, just ignite us to a flame of hope and anxious desire. And by anxious, I don't mean fretful. I mean a yearning, a longing, for thy return and doing all that we can to take as many with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord.